You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down South Tel Aviv, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew, we deliver to you in both languages. Wow, it was quite the week. Lots of sports. Israel national team in soccer, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Cholon, all in action in basketball. Maccabi Tel Aviv coming off of a double week in the EuroLeague, going 1-1. Jerusalem with an emotional evening at the arena for the families of the hostages. Hapoel Cholon going 2-0 so far on BCL. Hapoel Tel Aviv in a little bit of trouble. Tomer Ginat going out with an injury, and them losing 2 in a row. And of course, Israel national team with a 1-1 draw against Switzerland when Sean Weissman pounds the ball into the goal. And of course, at the other end, we have that 1-0 loss to Kosovo on a non-ideal pitch. And there's the story of Wade Baldwin and what went on this week as well. And to talk all about these things, I bring on, of course, Moshe Halichman. He is the editor and head, Rosh Desk, head of the Sports Rabbi Hebrew website. And we talk all about these things. We start off with the basketball, then we move over to the soccer. And looking forward to better times. Things are trying to get back to normal. We talk a lot about the Israeli league and, you know, an incident between a couple of the teams. And we're talking about the basketball league here, the soccer league coming back in a week. Basketball league would like to come back in a week, but I don't see that happening right about now. We have some ideas and thoughts about that as well. So make sure you subscribe to us. Check us out on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us, and let's get going. Moshe Halichman, you're up next.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Of course, now we're going to talk about Holy Land Hoops, Maccabi Tel Aviv. You know, they split the double week in the EuroLeague, of course, and to talk about them, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Cholon, and all the European action from this week, and the latest in the Israeli world for basketball. I bring on here, of course, Moshe Halichman. How are you doing there today, Moshe?
Doing well, and happy to be here to speak about basketball.
Yeah, always good to speak about basketball. Let's start with Maccabi Tel Aviv. They go 1-1 in the week. They defeat Fenerbahce in a tough game, 78-73. They fall to Olympiakos on Tuesday, 79-74. You know, pretty much the scores are tight. And I think it identified with both of those games that, you know, Maccabi was not at their best in both of those games. Both of the games, we saw them in the first half not playing well. They had difficulties, a lot of difficulties bringing the energy, and we saw that with the scores. They gave up 46 points against Fenerbahce in the first half, and against Olympiakos, they gave up 51 points. Now, you're planning to give those type of points to these type of teams, they're going to punish you. And they weren't able to dig out of the hole on Tuesday against Olympiakos. On Thursday, it was a different story. They were able to bring on the energy and dig out of the hole. But these first halves in the empty arenas, they've got to figure out a way to start a little bit better, because offensively they're shooting, you know, they're scoring, right? It was 51-36 Olympiakos at the half, and against Fenerbahce, you're looking at a score that was 46-38. So they're scoring points, Maccabi are. It's not that they're not scoring, but their defense is nowhere to be found.
Yes, Maccabi has big problems on the defensive end in the first halves of games, but I guess Oded Katash knows how to speak to the players at halftime, and the defense looked much better, also against Olympiakos, also against Fenerbahce, and Maccabi just need to start games in the same way, and hopefully they would be able to do that, because they do have some players that are very good defensively. If it's Wade Baldwin, James Webb, we see an improvement. Josh Nebo, some moments of Roman Sorkin. Bonzi Colson obviously is an excellent defender, and there's more players that can contribute on that side of the court when they want to. Lorenzo Brown, for example. So I think Maccabi would be okay.
All right, let's talk about the game. Let's go through it here. Maccabi Tel Aviv Fenerbahce. We'll start with that. Again, Lorenzo Brown, 18 points. He scored most of those points in the first half. He kind of kept them hanging in there. So that was good on his part. Didn't do much in the second half, but he was fine. We saw Bonzi Colson with 13 points, 14 rebounds, and all 13 of those points came in the second half, Moshe. Then we have Wade Baldwin coming back, and we'll get to him in a little bit. 12 points, 8 for 8 from the line. He hit 4 free throws at the end of the game, one after the next, which is great, but he went 2 for 10 from the field. We'll get to his whole story in a little bit. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 turnovers. So, you know, the numbers are okay in total. James Webb with 10 points somehow was voted the player of the game, according to the EuroLeague, yeah, because of the efficiency rating. And he played well. Antonio Cleveland didn't play in the first half. He played only at the end of the first half, and then he came in and was great in the third quarter. He did what they needed to. I don't know why Oded didn't play him earlier to try to shut down the defense. Maybe he was just saving him. Not exactly quite sure what happened there. Roman Sorokin was okay with 6 points. John DiBartolomeo has been just basically wiped out of the rotation now. Is there an injury here? Ever since that Panathinaikos game where he scored and scored and scored, we have not seen John DiBartolomeo. Like, he's been a shell of himself, and barely has he played. Jaziel Rivero, another solid game, 7 points, 5 rebounds in 23 minutes. Jake Cohen, you know, played that first quarter, 2 points. He was fine, but then we didn't see him again. Josh Nebo did not have a great game, scored his 4 points in the first quarter in 15 minutes, and he had no rebounds. Tamir Blatt, only a couple points there as well. Now, for Fenerbahce, Scotty Wilbekin came back to haunt Maccabi Tel Aviv with 18 points. Of course, he did not make the big shot when it counted at the end. And the 18 points for Tariq Biberovic, who was fantastic. He was just fabulous, 4 for 5 from 3. Nigel Hayes-Davis was 16 points, who was excellent as well. Played almost 40 minutes, Nigel Hayes-Davis did. But at the end of the day, the big number, and Yam Madar, we should mention, also 7 points, 7 for 8 from the free throw line, but really did not much of anything else, only took 2 3-pointers. But I think the big number here, and Dimitris Itoudis spoke about it, second chance points. Maccabi Tel Aviv, listen to this, folks, 22 offensive rebounds. That is a tremendous amount. Bonzi Colson's 14 rebounds, he had 7 and 7. Now, if you're going to collect 45 rebounds and half of those are offensive, you're going to win the game most probably and most often than not. We know Fenerbahce is going through a tough time. They had a lot of players injured, but that's really a telling statistics, Moshe.
Yes, Olympiacos were the team that did the same to Maccabi in the last game, but now Maccabi was the team to do it to Fenerbahce, taking the offensive boards, getting so many second chances, not always putting the ball in the basket. We saw all kinds of misses, if it's Roman Sorokin, Jaziel Rivero sometimes, Bonzi Colson, but at the end of the day, that made the difference. Maccabi players wanted more. They wanted to win the game more than Fener, and Bonzi's the symbol of that, I would say. Bonzi's the first player you think of, someone who fights on the court. And I need to mention Cleveland, who spoke about him. I don't know how I forgot him. Speaking about Maccabi's defense, that's obviously the lockdown defender of a team. And he was really one of the keys to the win, how he came and played in the third quarter. And it was really weird not to see him play much more except that. But who knows what's going on there. Other weird stuff was Jake starting the game and I think not even coming back. John barely playing, suddenly coming back near the end of a game and then going back to the bench after a few seconds. A lot of questions about Oded Katash's decisions, but at the end of the day, he got the win, and that's what matters right now.
All right, Moshe, let's talk a little bit about Wade Baldwin. Wade Baldwin comes back after an episode this week where he had a stomach virus. We don't know if it was a virus, wasn't a virus, needed some days off. And I will take it back a little bit, and I wrote about this for a piece that I posted yesterday, but United We Stand, About It We Fall, how the Maccabi needs the fans and the fans need Maccabi. And there was an episode where Wade Baldwin's partner, wife, put up a little bit of a story of somebody that is questionable, a fan of Israel and the Jewish people. Obviously, she didn't mean anything about it. It was taken down very quickly. But, of course, the fans and certain media outlets here in Israel had to play judge, jury, and executioner on Wade Baldwin and his wife. And there was a firestorm, a maelstrom, that took place. Both he and his partner had to put up apology stories. And it got really ugly and really stupid. And I know that everybody's tense here in Israel. We know that there's a war going on. We know that there's issues. We get all of that. But people here have to understand, got to calm down a little bit. Got to calm down a little bit. This is a guy that pledged to sign the 3-year contract to be in Israel. He enjoys it here. His family enjoys it here. He's happy to be here. There was nothing meant about that. It's not, I don't want to compare it to different stories of other people that have posted things, other athletes or athletes' wives that posted things. It's not even worth the time. But I'll say this, the fans, you've got to just calm down. And media outlets, like, you also got to calm down a little bit here. This is not like, you know, the biggest story. Also, Nigel Hayes-Davis took a little story of a pro-PLO Hamas walk when he was in, I don't know what city it was, somewhere in Germany, I believe, I think. And he went to a Holocaust museum. He basically posted stuff on a story all day. Now, he did not mean anything with that. Everybody's got to calm down. Now, you may agree with me, you may disagree with me, but everybody's got to just calm down. Maccabi Tel Aviv needs Wade Baldwin. He needs him. He needs Maccabi. Everybody needs each other. The fans need Wade. Wade needs the fans. Maccabi needs the fans. You don't want to lose Maccabi. You don't want to lose the teams. You don't want to lose the foreign players that are having a very difficult time right now. Let's put ourselves in their shoes for a minute. They signed a contract, 3-year deal, to come live in Israel, to live in Tel Aviv, to live in, you know, to live here in the Holy Land. And they're, you know, they were thrown into a situation that they didn't bargain for. They're not Jewish. They're here, you know, working. They're just like a person coming to the Holy Land, and they're thrown into a situation where they are living out of suitcases, and now they're, you know, pretty much they're in Belgrade, so they have a base, but that's not where they signed up to live. They signed up to live in Tel Aviv. They didn't sign up to live in Belgrade. You know, anybody that experienced October 7th, doesn't matter who you are here in Israel, it was a disaster from every which angle. We've all suffered losses. We've been to many funerals. Everybody in this country, we've all lost loved ones. We know people that have been being held hostage. We know all about that. Everybody's just got to calm down a little bit here, take a step back, take a deep breath, and just understand that everybody's human beings here. Didn't have to happen the way it did. Did he have a stomach ache? Did he not have a stomach virus? Whatever it was. Obviously, he needed some time away, and that's fine. But, you know, that time away cost you a game. Because if you had Wade Baldwin playing on Tuesday, you'd probably win the game against Olympiacos. Now, it's not a guarantee. And we'll look at that game here, and then you can, you know, voice your opinion. Maccabi Tel Aviv, again, 15 points from Tamir Blatt, or 13 points from Tamir Blatt, who was great. Jaziel Rivero, 10 points, as well as James Webb, 10 points. 16 points from Roman Sorkin. Lorenzo Brown was nowhere to be found. I mean, he had 8 assists, but 5 points. He was 0 for 7 from 3. The 3-point shooting was awful. I mean, 0 for 7. Tamir was 1 for 6. Bonzi Colson, 0 for 5. Colson with 5 points. Well, that episode affected everybody on the team. And that's not what you want to have against the Olympiacos team that was ripe for the taking. Sasha Veniskov's gone. Kostas Lucas, gone. You're playing a team that you're not going to get like this in 3 months from now. You know they're going to be much better, and you let them beat you. Not only that, Nigel Williams-Goss goes out with an injury. 15 points from Alex Peters, but he fouls out in the third quarter. Thomas Walkup with 13 points, and a tired Thomas Walkup at that. 10 points from Isaiah Kanaan, and Mustafa Fall with 10 points dominated the inside. Everybody's just got to calm down a little bit. But that was a game. Instead of being 5-3 right now, they could have been 6-2. Now, I know that's asking a lot. I understand that. The situation, but think about it. Going into this week, they were 4-2 under these circumstances. 5-3 is good. They could have been 6-2, and this episode definitely played a factor in that loss.
Yes, I don't blame Wade for feeling how he felt and not playing for Olympiacos game, because I mean, it had really almost nothing to do with him. Yes, his wife posted something, but Wade Baldwin, I'm sure he wasn't involved at all in that, and we know also the wife didn't mean to do her damage and doesn't want good for the Palestinians and wants only good for Israel. So people really need to calm down. on the situation, because all what it did was damage, and Wade not feeling good, and maybe Wade even having questions about his connection to Maccabi and to the fans and to Israel, and it just shouldn't have happened. So yes, there was a mistake made, but really by mistake.
It was not malicious. It wasn't done on purpose. Yeah. And listen, I listened to the whole thing. Okay, again, the person that you posted, it was questionable. Unfortunately, this is what everybody has to understand. The world's a big place. The world is a big place out there. Maccabi fans, the world is a big place. Media outlets, the world is a big place. It's not just this one little egg here that we're in Israel. It's a big place. People make mistakes. It's okay. It's fine. Relax. Take a deep breath and move on. They did not have to play judge, jury, and executioner on this.
Definitely. And hopefully people would learn a lesson from this. But sadly, it looks like not many people are learning lessons, or not everyone, because also we see some battle of Hapoel Haifa and Ironi Neszciona. It's not only stuff that have to do with Maccabi or to other Israeli teams in Europe. It's all over the place in Israeli basketball, and this is sad. We don't want this stuff to happen, and people really need to think twice before they do stuff.
100%. Maccabi Tel Aviv play Barcelona. They're also not playing their best basketball next week. So they have a week off now, for better or for worse. I'm sure they'd like to be playing. Maybe they can get some games in against the other teams. You know, maybe that's what the Israeli league should do. They should have the four teams playing there in between Riga and Belgrade, and the other teams playing here. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But the bottom line is they get Barcelona, then they get Real Madrid, who is very hot, red hot. They're 8-0, I think, on the season or so. And then you have after that Alba Berlin. So you have a stretch here of, you could win, theoretically, two of three games coming up. You know, that's pretty good. If you can go, if you're 7-4 after these next three games, you're in very good shape if you're a Maccabi Tel Aviv.
I think Maccabi are in a good situation because Baldwin even isn't at his prime right now, but he's still so important, and getting fouled all over the place and just having him on the court does a huge difference. And even him going 2 from 14 from the field, that didn't even matter because he just did 8 from 8 from the line. So I think Maccabi have your potential to surprise many. And again, it depends on how the defense would look. It depends on some players who aren't showing up that they should start showing up. And I think Maccabi would be okay. Right now, they're one of the better EuroLeague teams, and there's no reason they shouldn't continue like that.
All right, let's shift gears to Hapoel Holon. Hapoel Holon, 84-79 winners over Rio Breogán. Listen, Hapoel Holon is playing fantastic basketball. You know, they haven't played a lot, and they've only played a couple games, but boy, are they better than advertised. And they're playing, you know, short. They were playing with one less foreigner. I know you have Drew Crawford in there, but still, you know, you're without Nick Johnson. You had some players that left. You're playing against an ACB team. Granted, they're not a very good ACB team, but still challenged. They're playing in Riga in an empty arena. They have the same challenges that everybody else has. Amin Nua, who I think is just fabulous, 19 points, 8 rebounds, was terrific. You have 15 points from C.J. Harris. This is like the C.J. Harris of old. Sean Dawson with 11 points, 10 points from Niv Mizgov, 8 points from Drew Crawford, and Yotam Anokhi. Then you have a couple points from Artsy, who plays, you know, again, his energy and his defense is great. Shachar Amir with 3 points. Justin Smith played well, 8 points. I mean, they just looked really good. Rio Breogán, you know, the 21 points from Stefan Momirov, but let's call it here. Hapoel Holon was the better team. You know, they led pretty much all the way through here. And Amit Sheriff, without an assistant coach, without another staff member, who are both serving in the reserves in the IDF right now, and they're playing in Riga. There's, you know, it's not exactly the warmest place right now, but wow, are they doing a nice job?
I'm very impressed from Holon. They're the surprise package for now, and doing the best if we think of expectations before the season of the Israeli teams in Europe. And really, almost every player there showed up, and Misgav's a great captain, and Yotam Chanochi is bringing all of his talent to the European stage. CJ Harris, you said exactly what we feel, that it's CJ Harris of a few years ago, and Amin Nua, is really giving what Holon needs from such a talented player. And really, everyone's looking good. Justin Smith, like you mentioned, Artsy, he's not at his best, but he still gives the battle on the court. And Drew Crawford gives good minutes, shoots well. So Holon is really something to like. What Amit Sherf shows on the court is and a really exciting basketball team that broke their record of 3-point percentage in Champions League. And Shachar Amir, also to see him play a few minutes and hit a three, it's really exciting. And Sean Dawson also, we didn't mention him. He doesn't need to be at his best and he'll still get to his points. He's as talented, so really congratulations for Holon.
Yeah, they shot 14 for 23 from three, 60.9%, which is terrific. Next week they play the same Rio Brogan in Spain. Will it be the same story? Who knows? You can't really predict. We'll see what happens over there. Hapoel Jerusalem, they had a special evening this week at the arena where they hosted families of those being held hostage by the evil enemy Hamas. The entire lower bowl of the arena, there were placards, signs, posters of those that have been kidnapped or being held hostage. And you can see some of those pictures at sportsrabbi.com or on our, of course, on our social media outlets. It was a very emotional evening. They had the family of the Engel, Ophir Engel's family. Father spoke. He was kidnapped. He was visiting his girlfriend. Of course, we also know Hirsch Goldberg Poland. Also a Hapoel Jerusalem fan as well, is being held by the enemy Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Very nice program. Mayor Moshe Leon spoke. We also heard from the Hapoel Jerusalem CEO, Alon Kramer. He spoke as well while wearing a T-shirt with those Jerusalem fans that have been killed. And then on the back, the two that are being held hostage. The game itself did not go the way that they wanted to. They lose 79-77. And I think the big item here is that Orr Cornelius didn't play. Apparently he was sick. And his absence really made the difference. And you could hear it in the voices of Levi Randolph after the game with 19 points. Chris Johnson, a dozen points, 10 for Brinton Lamar, 9 for Speedy Smith. They talked about how they were just off defensively. And the minute you start talking about being off defensively, you think about Orr Cornelius because of the defense that he brings. It's not that Pauk were very good. They weren't very good. They had some, a couple of good outings. Kendall Smith, 16 points, 11 points. Justin Olsen, of course, he formerly of Ramat Gan, 10 points from Michael Gilmore. But let's call it here. Alexander Jikic, without Orr Cornelius, missed a big player. And Kadeem Carrington was not his best, only 8 points in the game. Morris Ndur was solid with 7 points. Oz Blazer, no points. Gabi Chashashvili, 0 points as well. They played a total combined of about a dozen minutes. 6 points for Zach Hankins. Zach Hankins is not the MVP that we saw last year either. Yovel Zussman, 6 points. But this was just a game that they never kind of got into it. And the game was shown on the big screen in the arena, and it was odd. It was just, the whole feeling was odd. It was off. People are watching the game, and, there were a few hundred people there. It was just, I don't know. It was, the whole thing was off.
Yes, but it's an important event of Jerusalem, and also basketball here really wasn't the most important thing.
Well, of course.
People barely care that Jerusalem lost. I mean, almost no one talks about the loss or the feelings about it, but there are reasons for optimism. Levi Randolph is just huge as the captain of a team. Chris Johnson looking really good. And like you mentioned, Ndur, the team is just better when he's on the court. There are points for improvement, especially Zach Hankins, but also Brinton Lamar suddenly was in the game and looked good, and we know how much Jerusalem need Brinton Lamar, because for now he wasn't great, and suddenly comes a game like this that can give a ton of confidence. And Yovel Zussman, there were some better moments, some not good moments, and yes, it made a difference that Zussman starts instead of Cornelius. Zussman's a better player, but it changes the whole way the team is set on the court. So I think Jerusalem would be okay, and They'll win other games.
All right. Jerusalem, their next game is in a couple weeks against Galatasaray. Supposed to be in Turkey, and the same thing is for Apol Holon. They're supposed to be the next night in Bursaspor in Turkey, and we know that there's a travel from the Israeli government has put that Turkey is a place that you should be careful traveling to right now. We're going to see if those games are going to take place. Should be interesting what the decisions are going to be made and how that's going to happen, but we should keep an eye out on that. Finally, Apol Tel Aviv, they've just fallen apart. They lose 98-89 against Promethi team that was missing a ton of players, Promethi team that was just, had going through a horrible time. And Apol Tel Aviv, the 4-0, are now quickly 4-2. Their defense is nowhere to be found. 18 points from Bayern Angola, 15 points Jalen Hort, 14 Barty Moore, scored all of his points in the first half and then came up shooting empty in the second. Kyle Alexander, 13.6 rebounds. I like what I'm seeing from him. Same thing with Edan Zalmanson with 10 points. Jacobin Brown, 15 points. But those were a quiet 15 points. The big thing here is that Tomer Gennat is now going to be out for a few weeks, and he's injured with an ankle sprain. Over in Promethi, Devon Reed with 16 points, 19 points for Tay. Odiasi, who was tremendous for them, and 16 points for Ilya Sidorov, 12 points for Alexander Lipoyev, who is also excellent, but there's no defense, and they were playing in Riga in front of a crowd, I should say. But Moshe, Apol Tel Aviv, again, maybe it's just that they've been on the road. It's not easy, I get that. You lose Tomer Gennat. There's a lot of things going on there, and Jacobin Brown maybe wasn't at 100%, and on and on and on and on. But I guess Danny Franco is going to have to probably press the reset button here a little bit and see what he can do to try to get his team back into back into shape, into a winning shape again. And they host in Belgrade next week, Badalona, which is not going to be an easy game, of course.
Yes, Apol Tel Aviv should be very worried because they started the season in amazing form, 4 wins, and suddenly come 2 bad losses. And they're not looking good. If it was with Tomer Gennat, the other game, and without Jacobin, and this game without Gennat and with Jacobin, something's just not working there. And even players who are performing number-wise, like Jalen Hord or Brian Angola, they're definitely not at their best. So I think Apol Tel Aviv, it would be very interesting to see how they get out of this situation, and also if John Holland can get into form in the team, because for now it's not really happening, and Munford had a really bad game, and it would be interesting to see if next game we'll see the Xavier Munford we usually see. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Apol Tel Aviv would continue their Euro Cup season, because it can go very good, but it can also continue very bad.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Israeli League. They're supposed to come back on the 25th. The Women's League is going to be coming back already next week on Monday. The Premier League, Israel basketball, supposed to come back the 25th. Apol Haifa is supposed to be playing Nes Ziona. Apol Haifa put out a pretty harsh statement saying they have no players and their injuries, and they didn't sign players, and they're not ready to play, and they're asking Nes Ziona, who refused to move the date, on and on and on, and it was a pretty nasty message that they sent out. And then Nes Ziona hit back and said, like, we've taken care of our business, we signed players, we brought our players back, if you guys didn't do that, well, then that's your problem. And I hate to say, and then they made some nasty comments also to hit back, and I see things are back to normal here, where there may be a war going on. Chavirim, Kol Yisrael and Amar Amen here, everybody's back to being friends. But listen, let's be honest here right now. This is the Israeli League. How are they going to start playing on the 25th? I just don't see it. And again, I mentioned this a number of times. Perhaps, maybe they should really think about just playing with X amount of teams here in Israel for the next couple months, play some kind of Maybe it's even a cup tournament where they're in groups of teams. Maybe you play with 8 teams, maybe you play with 6 teams, maybe you play only with 4 teams, whoever has players, because it's clear that there are teams that don't have players. I mean, you hear from Hapoel Galil Elyon, it doesn't seem that they have much going on there. I mean, you want to put out a product that's going to be decent. You have some teams that have been signing players, but still going to take time to get them into shape, like Meir Herzliya, Nesiona. And then you have teams that have just not done anything, and that's clear with playing along. The date to start a regular league, the 25th, and you're going to try to force the 4 teams to come back and play in Israel. Foreigners aren't going to want to come. Like, come on. Let's be honest. We know that there's monetary issues out there. We get all of that, and it's all off to the almighty shekel here. But really, they have to think of some kind of alternative. And again, I suggested this already a few weeks ago. You start the first week of December. You start some kind of tournament of some description. Maybe you make even the State Cup this type of tournament, and you play for a couple months. You play December through January, and then you see where you are near the end of January, and then you can make a decision as to how we're going to restart the real league. Because to start a league now, this, that, you're playing with foreigners. Let's be honest. You're getting guys that are not the average type of players you'd see in the top of Israeli league. You're signing guys that played in the Lumit. You're signing unproven players that are coming right out of college, or you're signing veterans that are looking for a job. And that's great, and that's fine, and everybody deserves a job, but the product on the court is not going to be great. The league has to understand that, and that's what happens when you rely on a league, when you're relying on foreigners to play the majority of, you know, your 50% of your team, or 50% of your players in a lot of cases. In a game, if you're only going to use 8 or 9 players, they're going to be foreigners. So that's what's going to happen. And I think now we're really seeing the problem of the Israeli player, whereas the Lumit League is going to go to only Israeli players, and they'll, you know, that's fine. That's good. There'll be young players playing there. And you have the Women's League, which is going with just Israeli players, and that's good. I'm looking forward to seeing a game next week. I want to go see. I don't know what to expect, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. But again, you got to think about this a little bit. Have some kind of preseason tournament for the teams that want to play. Give other teams the time. You know, if you're not all 9 teams that are supposed to be playing want to play, and only 7 teams, and make it work. Figure it out. There are enough gyms across the country. Let them play. Let them start getting back into shape, and then go from there. Because right now, it's just, you know, it's one thing with the Israeli Soccer League, Moshe, where you can start playing next week. You can start playing because you're relying primarily anyways on Israelis. You only have 4 or 5 foreigners per team, and a lot of the foreigners ended up coming back because, you know what? Israel doesn't attract the top-line foreigners in the Israeli soccer league. Let's, you know, call it what it is. And some of the players got nice big extensions to come and play here now that have already been playing with the teams. And you can easily put out a decent, semi-decent product. You know, probably a very good product. Not even semi-decent. Probably a very good product. We're going to have to see what happens.
Yes, what's going on is just not a good look, especially the fight between Haifa and Nes Ziona. I'm not going into who's right, because just no one's right here. This is not how basketball teams should behave during a war, and it's really just disgraceful, and I won't even talk more about it, because I don't think they deserve it. And the league itself would really need to find the right way to go back, because right now it doesn't look like the situation. I mean, the level won't be high, and there are barely players available. And like you said, the Leumit is full of just Israelis, so how would there be enough players in the first division? Would some Israeli players from the Leumit be able to play in the first division? It's just a really complicated situation, and I think they need to give a bit more time to the teams, because right now it's just not going to be the product we want to see.
Let's shift gears, Moshe, to the soccer, if we can here. Israel national team right now, the 4 games in 9 days in the midst of trying to qualify for the European Championship 2024 taking place this coming summer in Germany. Israel's already played 2 games. They lose in Kosovo 1-0, and they draw against Switzerland at their home away from home, just outside of Budapest in Hungary, 1-1 with Switzerland. The first game, Israel did not, it looked as I expected, not really there, having trouble. Did not play well. The pitch was bad, but it was bad for both teams. And they gave up a bad goal, as they usually do. Aranzazi played again. There were a lot of emotions, and I kind of predicted that they're going to be all over the place. It's going to be a very tough game in Kosovo, and it was. And then they go into the Switzerland game, and they change the lineup. A lot of younger players have played for the under teams that did so well this past summer. Einar Haleli, Dort Tourgeman. I mean, they were just great. They were terrific. They really pushed it on. Finally, and they were the better team. Israel was the better team, especially in the second half. I know all over Switzerland right now, their head coach is being questioned as to, you know, should he be the head coach of this team. The second half, Israel dominated, but they couldn't put the ball into the goal. And finally, they did in the 88th minute when Sean Weissman turned in the box and slammed it home. And they escape with the point, and they stay alive. To fight for another day. They have Romania coming up Saturday night, which is obviously a must-win. They lose that, and that's the end. If they win that, at least they can go into the last game with a chance to qualify when they play Andorra, except that, of course, if Romania picks up points or wins in Switzerland, home against Switzerland, they're going to go through. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot to unpack. Switzerland's playing Kosovo. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. But at the end of the day, they had about 2,500 people in Hungary. A lot of fans flew out. More flights were scheduled to fly out yesterday and today to Hungary for this game Saturday night. There are tons of children that have parents that are being held hostage, tons of orphans that their parents were killed in the massacre that Hamas committed on October 7th. It was very emotional. And listen, that second game is really where Israel needs to be with those younger guys. And, you know, Zahavi's going to work his way back in the starting lineup again against Romania. We understand that. But you got to give these younger players the chance to play. I mean, it's very clear that these are the guys that have the, you know, they put the pedal to the metal, and they were flying on the pitch, and they did the best they could. In that second half, they were spectacular, and they played exactly how I kind of thought they would play when I wrote and was interviewed numerous outlets in Belgium and in Switzerland ahead of the end of this tournament.
Yes, and it was very exciting to see how Dort Tourgeman played on both sides of the field, and also the moment of Weissman's goal was just huge. Getting a point against Switzerland, it's not something that should be taken for granted, and I really hope Israel would find the way to beat Romania and at the end of the day go up to the Euros, because obviously the loss against Kosovo put them in a bad situation, but now the chance is still alive, and Yossi Benayoun's sure that in 100% that they would get to there. Now, I think he's a bit too optimistic about the situation, but if they do stuff right, if they beat Romania, if they obviously do the job in the game after that, and I think in a case like that, then stuff would just work and Israel would go up to the Euro and somehow Romania would lose to Switzerland or whatever. I think if Israel do their job, then there's no reason that they won't go up to the Euros.
All right, Moshe, where can people reach out to you?
At Mo Blue Lion on Twitter.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. Make sure you check out the websites, all kinds of articles, both in English and in Hebrew. Join the Hebrew WhatsApp group that Moshe manages. A lot of fun. It's great to say that we can have a lot of fun here and that there is a lot of action and we're excited. And, you know, little by little, things are trying to get back to normal. It's going to take a long time. People just have to be flexible, and that includes the Israeli Basketball League. Think a little bit. Try to be flexible, be creative, find a way to make it work for everybody, because right now trying to shove a league down everybody's throats right about now is just not the way to go for the basketball league. And I just want to leave it with that. Wishing everybody a Shabbat Shalom from Jerusalem.